ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. Oh, my baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend.
This next bit is a letter from John Kerry to old Bart. And I might have got a little carried away when I hear the replay. It sounds like I'm really down on Kerry, but I was just in a bad mood when I got this, kind of letter. Address I do not recognize. Let's see, it's from a John Kerry. Dear friend, are you ready? Okay. Now, we're going to let a few of these go by. I mean, we are not here to attack Kerry, but I just have a feeling this letter is going to be more of the same. I don't even know what the word milquetoast means, but you just know that, oh, the aspirations and the dreams and the He's not going to talk to the voters. He's going to do this gobbledygook Harvard-Yale presentation that is going to fly over the heads of 98% of America. I just hate that. Meanwhile, Bush comes out and says, it's great to be in Dubuque. I ain't never been more fun in Dubuque. And I say, God damn, he's one of us. Are you ready? Ready to run the most vigorous and energetic? Please. John, you know I'm with you, but vigorous and energetic? That's what you think this campaign is? I would call it sleepy, polite, and reserved. Please, John. I mean, you know, like I say, we're on the same side, but don't lie to me. Ready to run the most vigorous and energetic campaigns in Democratic Party history? How about in the last 12 years? Why don't you run a better campaign than Clinton did in 96, and I'll come work for you. I'll quit my job. Well, I don't have a job. Ready to work side by side as we win back the White House and carry the day in other critical races? Well, yes, John, I'm ready to fight. I know the answer to the question because I know how hard you have already worked to prepare our party for victory in 2004. And I'm certain you understand that all the work you and I have done for pales in comparison to the challenges that lie ahead. John, I think the debate is going to be won, or the contest is going to be won, on the ideas. And when Bush calls you soft on defense because you voted against that $87 billion, when he says that about you every day, he does 3-4 speeches a day. In a week, that's 30 or something times. He says, where was John Kerry? How dare he vote against the boys in the field? And John, you remain silent on this. Why is that, John? John, if I mail you a DVD of The War Room, the story of the Clinton boys in 1992, would you have an hour or so to watch it, John? Do you want to see how our campaign answers a charge? When the charge is made at noon, your reply should be out by 2 o'clock. Hell, if I was there, it'd be 10 after 12. We wouldn't need 10 minutes, John. You need me on your team. To win back the White House and carry the day in other critical races, we're going to have to work as if every day is the day before Election Day. The stakes are that high and the contest that close. Now see, this is poor writing. I don't like this at all. You're not punching anything up, John. You're giving us, this could be from 1960. Every word we've read so far, this could be from John Kennedy's letter to the people, May 1960. That's why, before you even put this letter down, I hope you'll take a moment to rush an urgently needed donation to the DNC. I and other candidates in critical races are counting on the DNC, and the DNC is counting on you. Well, they in trouble if they're counting on me. The DNC refuses to fight back, and they're wanting to take my money to not fight. If they're going to fire bullets, I'll buy some bullets for them. But if I'm going to buy some bullets and they're going to sit on the shelf, I fail to see the point in buying the bullets. I and other candidates in critical races. Oh, we did that one. And as you may know, by law, the DNC is the only organization in America that work hand in hand with my campaign every day, right now through November 2nd, and that's exactly what we plan to do. John, that's misleading. They may technically be the only one who can legally work with you, but that doesn't mean people like me and Move On, not that we're the same size, but Buzzflash and all these other people, we can all work. We don't have to coordinate with you. Matter of fact, John, we're doing a better job than you are. You go to Buzzflash, you don't say, oh, the aspirations and the dreams of the American people. No, you're going to see words there. You're going to see words and ideas, and they're all put together in a cogent and clear way. But no, John, we're not getting that from you. We know how hard the Bush Republicans will fight to hold on to power. They've got the largest campaign war chest in history. They're working a no-holds-barred, say-anything-do-anything campaign to stay in office. Gee, we wish you would be running a no holds barred, say anything, do anything campaign to win, John. No, but you want to be polite. You want to do the Marcus of Queensbury. You want to fight with your pinky out. You ever notice on the old westerns, the bad guy would hit the good guy, and the good guy would fall down, and the bad guy would jump on top of him and beat him with his fist. You know, this is like the Lone Ranger. This is like when I'm a kid. So then the Lone Ranger get in a fight with the guy, and he'd hit him and knock him down. And he'd reach down and pick him back up and stand him on his feet and hit him again. And he'd reach down, he'd pick him, stand him back up on his feet, and he'd hit him again. I'm thinking, you dumb son of a bitch, what are you helping him off the ground for if you're just going to knock him down again? Jump on his ass and beat him like he just did to you. The Republicans are going to murder us in this campaign if we fight like women. That didn't come out right. The Republicans in this campaign are going to murder us if we fight like gentlemen. This is a fight. It's not a contest, it's a fight. But if they think you and I are going to back down, they're making a big mistake. No, John, I think pretty much they know exactly what they're doing. We're ready for this fight, ready to stand up for our values, ready to work harder than we've ever worked before. Well, are you ready to answer the charge about why you voted no on the $87 billion and betrayed our boys in the field and took away their guns and their bullets and their vests and their food, John? Why'd you do that to them, John? Everyone's wondering why you did that. You took away their water in the desert, John. Why, John? Everybody wants to know why, John, but you won't answer the question. You won't answer the charge, John. Why is that? What will it take to get you? Remember, Gore promised he was going to work so hard for us, and then he went to sleep the whole effing campaign. John, please don't look at the Gore campaign. Don't do what he did. And I know he won. Get off my back. But don't do. You want to be ahead by 35 points. So when Diebold says Bush won the election, we can say, ain't going there. Not going to do it. I've been preparing my whole life for this fight and fighting all year for every vote. We're ready to win, and together we're sending a powerful message. That's not a powerful message, Jim. There's no limit to what you and I can do if we stand together. Well, that's if you work, John. If we have faith in the power of our ideas and rely on the strength of our convictions, see, here we go again. The power of ideas, the strength of our convictions. Meanwhile, Bush is eating a hot dog in Des Moines, gaining votes on you, John. We got to make it clear to people all across this great nation that the 2004 election are a contest between two fundamentally different. Now, see, there you go again. Who was writing this for you, John? You need to subtract about 40 IQ points from this guy if you want to reach somebody. Listen. We got to make it clear to people all across this great nation that the 2004 election are a contest between two fundamentally different visions of America's future. How about making this the difference between eternal war and our boys coming home? Between giving all America's money to the super rich or letting the little guy have a piece. Now, see, John, you see how that's plain talking to the little folk? Why can't you learn that, John? Are you going to learn that lesson in 2012? Are you going to learn it in 2014? Why not learn it this year, John? Call me. I speak stupid. You can speak through me. Give me a speech. It's like those jive websites where you put in, you put in BartGov.com and come back. Comes back as if Snoop Dogg was saying it. That's what you need, John. Give me your speech. Let me dumb it up for you. I'll give it back to you. And you take off, put on some normal clothes and speak the words I give you, John. You'll reach everybody. We're going to stand up for middle-class families whose needs and aspirations. See, here we go. The needs and aspirations of the middle-class have been ignored for so long. We're going to put an end to the Bush administration's obsession with leverage tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans doing the bidding of the powerful special interests. Why do you call it the Bush administration's obsession? Say it's Bush's obsession. What's wrong with you, John? You're trying to spread the blame out like Hamilton and Keene. You're trying to spread the blame out 17,000 different slices. No, John. Bush is the idiot. Attack the Bush, idiot. Why don't you say, and we're going to put into Bush's obsession with giving his wealthiest friends taxpayer money. Now, see, John, that's pretty plain. A lot of people would catch that, but no, you're not pitching it. We're going to protect our environment from those who would despoil. Please, despoil America's most precious places like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Now, why don't you say, we're going to protect our environment from the oil drillers who would take Yellowstone and Yosemite from us. Now see how much clearer that is, John? What does it take, John? Let me get through to you. We're going to protect families from skyrocketing health care costs and all too powerful HMOs. How about, are you tired of paying $10 for a 50-cent pill? Are you tired of paying $800 to get your splinter taken out of your finger? All that money's going into Bush's pocket. We're going to defend Social Security and Medicare from those who have never believed in these vitally important social programs and can't wait for the opportunity to weaken them. No, they're going to gut them. John, what are you giving your enemy the benefit of the doubt? Friends, I don't know if I can even continue. This is just so goddamn frustrating to know that he's blowing this. He's blowing it every day. He's blowing it every week. He refuses to fight. Listen to this gobbledygook. I'm telling you, does it sound like you would even trust a guy like this? A guy you can't understand. It's like you go to the doctor's office and you say, Doc, what's wrong? And he starts on these 40-letter words that you say, Doc, English, please, talk to me. Talk the language that most Americans speak. But no, Kerry's wanting to talk over everybody's head. Maybe he's trying to contrast himself as a man who can think against the monkey, but the monkey's reaching people. God, this is driving me nuts. Listen to this. Pure horseshit. We're going to campaign every day with the courage of our convictions and the strength of our values. Now, what the fuck does that mean to anybody in this planet? This will be a long and challenging campaign. Oh, this is a long and challenging letter, John. Trust me. But with your energy, enthusiasm, and financial support, I know we can win. How about you get off your butt and do something, John? John, you need to do two major things. You need to attack, and you need to speak like a man of the people. This bullshit, inspirations of the dream, to spoil our national refuge. Who the fuck ever heard the word despoil before today? Ugh. On behalf of all the candidates who benefit from your passion and commitment to our cause, I thank you for acting in one of the most critical moments of this critical election year with your support. We're harder than we ever worked. We'll carry our values to victory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A certain loser, John Kerry. Ugh. God, this makes me sick. Why did they do this? This letter came today. This is where we are now. This is where we are July 23rd. This is where Kerry is. Why won't they listen to me? Last time I gave them some advice, 2 days later they took it, and it looked real good. You didn't hear another word about that Whoopi Goldberg video when we said, hey, why don't you release the energy results, the Energy Commission stuff, and then we'll talk about Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, that shut her up real quick. They had nothing else to say about Whoopi after that. But no, they don't want to listen to me. And just so you know for sure, I realize that I'm nobody, and Kerry doesn't know who I am, and they'd be nuts to listen to some idiot hand job with a website and a radio show. But he needs to listen to somebody. It's not like Clinton was King Tut, and all we have is these carvings on the stone wall to try to decipher what he might have done. No, Christ, everything Clinton did is on right in front of our eyes. It's on videotape. It's in books. It's in headlines. It's in speeches. It's all right there. But no, Kerry wants to go Gore's way. Who understands why? Starting to get a headache. I better turn off. Please, Koresh, make it so. Please stop, Kerry. Please turn him around. He's heading right towards these rocks, and he don't want it at all. Oh, the aspirations of the dreams of the despoiled. Oh, God. Yeah. What are you looking for? Absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. This is another thing I stole from Al Franken. You know, I don't have any sources. If, you know, I got the Vulgar Pig Boy, I have a VCR, I can record, but half the trick is getting the clips put together. It's really hard to get a bunch. I'm always seeing great stuff when I'm not recording, but it's just hard to record. You know, you get in the car, how are you going to record that? You're watching TV, you can record some of that, but you got to be ready. You hear something on the radio, you just can't record everything all the time. And I'm sure all these guys, they've got either a staff or they're subscribing to some service where they get all these clips and that. But I don't have that. I'm still nobody on no budget. So, anyway, stole this Mel Franken. This is his best friend, Bill O'Reilly, screaming, shut up, at the son of a guy murdered on 9/11. It's typical O'Reilly. If you disagree with him, he raises his voice. He starts screaming, shut up, shut up, shut up. And that's how O'Reilly wins arguments. That's the only way they can argue. Again, that's why I like to argue in the chat room. Because you can't out-scream the other guy. You can repeat. And if you want to be a goof, you can put everything in capital letters. But, you know, when you're in a chat room, it's really you're typing fingers against the other guy's typing fingers. And there's a really equality thing going on there. And I guess it helps to type fast. But if, people are really, really equal in that chat room. And you can't be out screamed, they can't cut your microphone off, et cetera, et cetera. So they got some equality there. But check out O'Reilly trying to get the best of this guy.
But what upsets me is I don't think your father would be approving of this.
Well, actually, my father thought that Bush's presidency was illegitimate.
Maybe he did, but I don't think he'd be equating this country as a terrorist nation.
Well, I wasn't saying that it was necessarily that.
You what I'm saying is that
you evoke sympathy with the 9/11 family.
That's a bunch of crap. I've done more for the 9/11 families by their own admission. I've done more for them than you will ever hope to do.
Okay.
So you keep your mouth shut
when
you
see
me exploiting those people.
You're not representing
me. And I never represent you. You know why?
Why?
Because you have a warped view of this world and a warped view of this country.
Well, explain that. Let me give you an example.
No, I'm not going to debate this with you. What about George Bush? He had nothing to do with it.
The director, senior, as director.
He had nothing to do with it.
The people that trained 100,000 Mujahideen who were...
I hope your mom isn't watching this. I hope your mother is not watching this. That's it. I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay.
In respect for your father...
September 14th, do you want to know what I was doing?
Shut up.
Please don't tell me to shut up.
In respect for your father, who was a Port Authority worker, a fine American who got killed unnecessarily by barbarians.
By radical extremists trained by this government.
Respect
not
for
the
him.
People of America,
I'm not
the people
address
of the ruling class, a small minority.
Cut his mic. I'm not going to dress you down anymore. Out of respect for your father. We'll be back in a moment with more of
that. We're done?
Reading a headline from the Tulsa World that I can't read because I cut it out. I cut out something on the backside, but they're talking about religiously insane Tom Coburn. Now, something good and bad news about Tom Coburn, as you know, one of the Jesus twins, him and Steve Largent. But one of the good news and bad things about Tom Coburn is he means what he says. When he said, I'm going to do three terms and go home, he meant that because his word is good. But when you have a crazy man, you hate it when his word is good, because when he says something, he probably means it. And that's scary. Gee, Bart, can you give us an example? Yes, I can. I'm reading directly, word from the Tulsa World. Like him or not, the outspoken former U.S. Representative Tom Coburn is seldom misunderstood, but one of his recent declarations shocked even veteran observers of Oklahoma politics. In an interview with Associated Press writer Ron Jenkins, Coburn, who is seeking the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate, called for the death penalty for abortionists and other people who take life. Check him out. The death penalty for abortionists and other people who take life. He later said he didn't mean they should be executed today, since abortion still is legal, and added he doesn't favor prosecuting women who get abortions, though he didn't explain why. If a doctor is to be executed for an abortion, wouldn't the mother also be eligible for execution? Perhaps Coburn feels women can't be held responsible for their actions. Coburn's comments might or might not hurt him in Tuesday's primary, which is tomorrow. Probably be done by the time you hear this. It's likely the more reasonable GOP voters will support the more rational Kirk Humphreys, who is backed by Jim Inhofe. Oh, my God. So you got the guy who wants to kill doctors and perhaps mothers who exercise their constitutional right to handle their own bodies, and his opponent is backed by Jim Inhofe, the crazy bastard. Crazier bastard. Oh, my gosh. What in the world? But wouldn't we also have to execute Bob Barr? Bob Barr paid for an abortion. He paid for a murder. He ordered a hit on his unborn little baby daughter. Oh, boy, if I was a real radio station, I'd have little sound effects of the baby crying in the background. Please don't kill me, Daddy. Please don't kill me, Daddy. But that's how the Republicans work. You can't have an abortion, but Bob Barr can. They described him as the most anti-abortion member in the entire Congress, and he went and paid for an abortion. That's how these Republicans are. They are lying. They have no convictions. They can't stick with their convictions because they don't have any. They just make shit up for the regular people. But, of course, they're the big elites. You know, they know what they're doing. But these women, they don't. These human beings with vaginas, they don't have any clue what they're doing. But hopefully you got a penis around to straighten them out. Way to go, Bob Barr. So you all watch out there. We're either going to send an Inhofe clone or the man who wants to execute doctors to the Senate, because we're Oklahoma. That's what we do. Oh, got a good one here. the new Time magazine. I probably shouldn't have, but I subscribed to Time magazine. They gave me some idiotic, outrageous rate, like $6 a year. I thought, hey, I got $6. 10 questions for John McCain. First, we'll warm you up. Should Dick Cheney remain on the ticket? Absolutely. Always a great guy, yada, 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 yada. Number two, would you accept the number two spot if Bush offered it to you? His answer, John McCain, Time magazine, in my hand, black and white, I'm reading it. Would you accept the number two spot if Bush offered it to you? You always have to consider a request by the President of the United States. But in 2000, when I met with Bush in Pittsburgh, I said I wasn't interested, and I'm not interested now. Aha! So Cheney was not Bush's first choice. Oh, what a game of gotcha we're playing today. The idiot monkey wanted McCain on there. Oh, and that wouldn't have worked for him. You know, that would have been a riot. You'd have McCain out there saying, hey, fuck this idiot that I'm running with. He's crazy. So, yeah, that there's no way that would have worked to have McCain on there. But interesting that Snarl was Smirk's second choice. And that was always a hand job, don't you think? Oh, Mr. Cheney, Uncle Dick, can you help me find someone to run? I'm the perfect candidate. You ought to go with me because I know how to steal that money better than anybody. We'll get to Halliburton going. We'll start a war. We'll go to Afghanistan. We'll go to Iraq. We'll make $100 million. Yeah, that worked out great. Dick looked around all over the country and thought, who's the very best man in the whole world? And it must be me. No ego problems there. But yes, John McCain, Bush's number one choice. Snarl came in second. Now we got an update. What's this fella's name? James Williams. That's going to be kind of rough on a search engine, but we talked about this a while back. And I'm going to give you the BART version because, you know, it just takes too long. He's driving through Baghdad. His Humvee breaks down. Now, that's a bad place to be. I don't know if he was with people or if he was by himself, but he's in Baghdad, his Humvee breaks down. And in Baghdad, when you got an American uniform on, you can't walk to the corner of Texaco and say, hey, can I have someone take a look at my Humvee? No, your ass is immediately in severe danger. So, shaking SUV comes rolling by, and this soldier stops him, pulls him out of his SUV, and says, dude, I need your truck. And he drives away with the guy's truck, drives back to camp. And they're putting this guy on court-martial for stealing a truck. I don't understand. This poor bastard, he might have volunteered to go out of Iraq, you don't know, but he finds himself, let's put it that way, in Iraq. Suddenly he's alone and without a vehicle, and if he fails to take action, he's probably going to be in a flag-draped casket. Don't we all agree on that? What's he going to do if he's surrounded by a gang of Utes with stones and bricks and shit? What's he going to shoot? 100 kids? Shoot his way out of the thing? No. He grabs a truck or an SUV and drives off. And the idiot army is putting this guy in court-martial. Wait, there is another guy, because the other guy already pled guilty. The army, I'm reading now, Williams defenders claim the soldier is simply following orders to find a vehicle to replace one of the Humvees. The army has said his actions amounted to robbery. Quote, the accused actions were an unjustified and indefensible criminal act of robbery. Who is this guy's lawyer? I could drink a half a bottle of Chinaco and argue this guy's case and win. Please. What the fuck is he supposed to do? Him and his buddy, apparently there's two of them, they're in Iraq with a vehicle that broke down. So what's he supposed to do? Winkle his nose like on Bewitched and go somewhere, you know, teleport himself back to camp? How the hell is he going to get... It's a hostile town. The whole town, the whole country hates us. They hate us for fucking being there. They want to kill us. And they do often. We're at 9:07 as I record this. And this poor bastard, James Williams, Sergeant First Class... They got his picture there, poor sad sack looking guy. Sergeant First Class James Williams is accused of carjacking at gunpoint a sport utility vehicle driven by the son of an influential sheikh in Mosul. Christ, he's in Mosul. Besides Fajula, you don't want to be, number one, you don't want to be in Fallujah. Number two, you don't want to be in Mosul. And I think number three is Baghdad. In April 2003, which is less than a week before Bush declared an end to major combat. Oh, maybe that's why he's in trouble. Because we already won the war. We were victorious and the war was over. And then he stole a truck. Oh, well, yeah, sure. Throw this son of a bitch in jail. We don't want to see him no more. What are you going to do? There's a chance this guy, you know, works at a Walmart somewhere. And he's doing his two weekends a year or however that works. And all of a sudden he gets a call. dude, you're going to Iraq. So now he's in Iraq. They give him a piece of shit Humvee that breaks down. Thank you, General Motors. And so his life's in danger. I remember something Liddy, G. Gordon Liddy, said a long time ago. You know, they're getting into this gun thing, and he said, hey, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I know that's one of those cutesy NRA things, but if you get down to it, do you want to be correct and dead, or do you want to be wrong and alive? I would much rather be in a courtroom than in a casket. Don't you agree? And if we were bigger, I don't know. See, I don't know if I had me like a, you know, some kind of manager, helper, staff kind of person, I'd have them detail. That's why I need a detail person. Get into this case. Verify the facts. I mean, I'm giving you the Bart version. But, you know, get all this shit verified. If this guy is a pretty normal dude and the facts are as they seem, wouldn't it be nice if we had enough power? Say we had 1 million readers. We could, flood somebody with faxes and emails and shit saying, what are you doing to this guy? He's over there fighting for his country. He steals a truck to save his own life and the lives of the guy who's in prison. See, now he's on trial. His buddy's already, I think he confessed, so he's in the brig now. He's, another soldier already has been convicted in the case and sentenced to prison. The lieutenant also faces the court-martial, so yeah, maybe there's three of them. Well, Jesus, you know, the more of them there are, well, it doesn't matter if there's one or if there's 15. If you're without a vehicle and you're standing there with a gun in Mosul, what are you going to do? You going to fight your way back to your headquarters there? No, you grab the first truck that comes by. Why would they do this to this guy? He's over there fighting for us, ostensibly. In his mind, I'll bet he's over there fighting for freedom. He's not over there to steal any oil. He's over there to follow orders. And they fuck him this way. Oh, you gotta love the government.
This summer, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, Knuckle Drag. Bart Cop Radio.